So what do you got cooking this weekend, huh?
Put your head between your legs in the brace position and get ready for another week of bats hitting balls, balls through nets and off rackets, with coaches blowing up and referees entering the witness protection program. Sit back, relax and enjoy what Triple M modestly calls the Weekend Legends.
Good morning. It might be foggy, but it's great to be with you. My name is Chris Gale. The battle for the Rugby League Premiership just got more interesting, Andrew Rose, overnight.
Oh, yes. The Raiders get a win. The Knights get a win. That battle for fourth is getting juicy, Chris Gale.
The Raiders beat the Tigers 28-0, and the Newcastle Knights 20 over the South Sydney Rabbitohs 12. Now, last night, Rose, something very interesting. The AFL and all 18 AFL clubs issued a joint press release.
Is this about the Goods documentary?
Absolutely. Well, it comes off the back of the world premiere of the final quarter, a documentary about Adam Goods' last 3 years in the AFL.
Everyone is talking about this documentary. It's changing things in AFL.
The apology said that the game, this was directly to Adam, the game did not do enough to stand with you and call out the treatment you received from spectators in that period.
Hear, hear.
And the game let down all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander players past and present. I mean, they're big words, aren't they?
It's strong words, but they're right. They need to say maybe everyone should wear a sorry shirt next week.
This hour, we talked to Ian Darling, who's the director of the final quarter.
That's going to be very interesting.
State of Origin 2, we look at what we need to wish for in order to guarantee a win for the Blues in Perth.
Oh, I wish for everything. Please give us a win.
Like your pro wrestling, a chance to win tickets to New Japan Pro Wrestling in Sydney later this month.
Yes, all those wrestling fans tuning in, waiting for those New Japan tickets. This hour is your chance. Get ready for it.
But up next, Australia's won its first two games in the ICC Cricket World Cup. We speak to Brendan Julian from Fox Cricket about what we need to do to hoist the trophy for a sixth time.
Come on, Aussie.
Weekend Legends, Triple M.
It's a show on the weekend, and these guys are legends. So naming the show was a no-brainer. Triple M's Ghost Mutt. Oh, no, I mean, sorry, what is it? Weekend Legends.
The ICC Cricket World Cup is on in earnest. We are the Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Rose, we're cricket fans who are constantly reminded that we're not experts.
That's true.
So we've gone and found one to talk to about the World Cup. He was a winner in 1999 of the Cricket World Cup from Fox Cricket, Brendan Julian. Brendan, Australia's had a very solid start, wins against Afghanistan and West Indies, but our top order wobbled a bit against the Windies. Can you see any changes? Sean Maas in the wings?
Yeah, maybe. G'day, guys. I thought for internet when you said Chris Gale, I was expecting a Jamaican accent, but I thought you did have the experts on. But having said that, the Aussies look horrible in their top six. I reckon, as you say, Khawaja, even though Justin Langer will not want to make a change, I think he might feel that he might have to, the way that Khawaja got out. But up against India at the Oval, it's going to get a lot harder. So I was very surprised the way they got bullied a bit by the West Indies. Because normally the Aussies play quick bowling pretty well. The best guy that played them well was Stephen Smith, who got out of the road, avoided it, and then Nathan Coulter-Nye came in and played his shot. So I reckon the top six is under a bit of pressure. They've got to make sure that they bounce back and bounce back well.
Do you feel I was victimised? I had to refer decisions to the umpire three times in that game against Australia, and he gave me out the third time. I was shattered.
I know. That was unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, I thought you made some good decisions, though. That first one, I went, yep, we went straight upstairs, the second one, and then third time lucky. But, geez, they're unlucky to West Indies. Tell you what, they should have won that game. Yeah. I mean, they bowled 21 extras, and then you add that on to the extra balls being bowled. I reckon it probably cost them about 30 to 40 runs. You take that off the scoreboard. Mm. They had us 5 for 79. And when you give a team 5 for 79, they should have jumped in and beaten us there. So we were lucky we got out of jail there.
That's a good point. It's Rose here, mate. You lead me on to the next question, which is, you know, we like to focus on the Australian teams here on the Weekend Legends. But besides Australia, what team is catching your eye so far in this World Cup?
Well, I think the Kiwis, no doubt. 2 from 2. They're sneaky, the Kiwis. They sort of come in under the radar. They have Kane Williamson, who's a wonderful batsman, but they don't have superstars like all the other sides. I think they're a side that'll get into the top four. I think India, in my mind, are a standout. I think the way they're playing at the moment, they've only played one game, but I tell you what, they look very, very good with Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma's 100 in the game that he played against South Africa. Kohli said it was the best 100 that he's ever seen him play in a one-day international. He's played about a million of them. So I think they look good. England, depending, you know, I thought they were going to be nice and strong and they got knocked over by Pakistan. I reckon they're a little bit wobbly, England, which is a good sign for us going into the Ashes. So my top four will be India up the top, no doubt Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, West Indies and England. That'll be the two that'll fight it out, I reckon.
And a red line through South Africa, surely.
They're gone. Yeah. They're done and dusted. They've lost three games. They don't even look like getting into anything possible near the semi-final. So
you can't catch ball.
So, Brendan, what do you think of this tournament format? All 10 teams play each other once, plus semi-final and finals. That's a total of 11 games for the last two teams. Mm. Seems like a fair system, but it goes on for a long time. Oof. Albeit, the games are on a good time to watch on television in Australia.
Yeah. Look, I think this is the best format. I mean, the last World Cup we had in 2015, it went on for about 3 years. People were coming to me saying, isn't it over yet? Is it still on? I said, yeah, it goes for a long time. It's like a worldwide tournament. But this is the best one. It's about 46 games. And what you do is you get all the best teams playing each other, which I think is really good. Because sometimes in the pool system, you don't necessarily get that. But when the top teams move to the World Cup, I think that's good. I don't think you need 15 or 16 teams in a World Cup. I think you have a pre-qualifying like they do with the Football World Cup. You qualify for the World Cup and then you move forward straight into the semi. So I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, and focusing back on Australia for a second, you know, one of the big things we've talked about a lot on this show over the year is the Smith and Warner stuff. They're back playing, but I'm still hearing boos in the crowd. Are you still hearing those boos and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, look, I'd expect that. I mean, I mean, you're in England, don't forget. I think you'd cop it anywhere, those two guys, wherever they go. So I think they'll be used to that, mate. You know, I think it's good that they're getting it done to them in the early stages of the games, then they'll be used to it. And I think moving into the Ashes, they'll cop it even more. So I'd be surprised if it's worrying them. I'd be surprised if it's going to affect their game. But I think for David Warner, I don't think he really cares. I think for Stephen Smith as an ex-captain, I think that would probably hurt him a little bit. But all in all, I think when they walk out on the ground, I think they're, you know, very focused. I mean, Stephen Smith's batting well. He's in great form. He looked good against the West Indies. So I don't think it's affecting him too much.
I assume when you're in London, the Poms are still booing you for the win 20 years ago, Brendan. Would that be right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly.
I've toured there three times, 93, 97, 99, so I'm a winner. That's fine. But they don't even know me, though, because I was just sitting on the bench most of the time.
Nothing wrong with that, mate. Coming up next, Australia takes on India tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. You can catch all the coverage on Fox Cricket live in HD, ad break free, commencing at 6:30 p.m. From Fox Cricket, Brendan Julian, thanks very much.
Thanks, guys. You're looking forward to it. 6:30 tomorrow, we're going to do an hour pre-game. Warnie's flying in direct from London to sit on the panel, so it'll be good. He'll get up and about, and no doubt he'll be swinging a few punches.
Oh, for sure.
Warnie will be in terrific shape, we're sure.
Thanks, mate.
Now, coming up next, the Maroons are up one in the State of Origin, Rose. We want to find out what we need to do to win in Perth. Weekend Legends, Triple M.
On the weekend, there are two types of people. Those that listen to Triple M and those that don't. These are their stories. What? Triple M's Weekend Legends.
To dance, to
Weekend
dance.
Legends.
Dance, dance. Sorry, Sydney's, I'm just getting into it.
Honestly. Sydney 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Now, coming up at midday, we've got Triple M Saturday NRL with Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence and Wendell Saylor.
Dream team.
Yes, and the New South Wales Blues coach, Freddie Fittler, will be on.
Ah, interesting.
He'll be giving his assessment of what happened up there at Suncorp and the way forward as we head across to Perth and the Dish Liquor Bowl, otherwise known as Optus Stadium.
Yeah, I'd certainly like to hear his opinions on some of the decisions he made in Game 1.
So, looking ahead to Game 2, Rose, there's a few issues that have to be addressed and a couple of things that we would like to see happen.
Yes.
First of all, what are we going to do about the withdrawal of Clemmer, who's broken his wrist? Who are you going to put in for his in the prop row position?
There's a couple choices. It's a big loss for the Blues because Clemmer is, you know, these days one of the veterans and fires that team up. And I think when he left with 30 minutes to go in that game, they did lose a little bit of that spark in the forward line. And I think you need someone to fill that. For me, it's Lodge.
Oh, okay. So the choices that I've heard are Dale Finucane, Matt Lodge, and Jordan McLean.
McLean might be good.
I was at Bankwest Stadium last night, and when someone was asked who are the three that you would pick, he went McLean, McLean, McLean.
McLean.
We need to solve the halves riddle. I mean, it was unusual to see Cody Walker replaced at the 57-minute mark when New South Wales was in front.
I mean, that's the one thing I'd like to hear Freddie talk about today. That baffled me. I mean, Cody Walker was taken out of that game, and Gagai scores two tries. He comes back in and sets up Trbojevic. So he's saying he wasn't melding with the game or something?
Yeah, he wasn't gelling with it, I think.
Gelling with the game.
Technical term.
Whatever. But I just don't agree with that. I thought it was a very strange choice.
I'm not sure there are that many choices, though. Keary, with a concussion, probably unlikely to be available. Anna Reynolds now has a back injury, so I'm hearing the other Mitchell.
Well, yeah, I think maybe the wrong Mitchell was put in there. I think Mitchell Pearce, I know some people don't like to hear this, but he played out of his socks yesterday. I think he might be in.
Nick Kotrick had a, you know, middling debut on the wing. Tommy Trbojevic is back for Manly this weekend. That,
yeah, that's big.
He'd come in straight away.
Yeah, absolutely he would.
Or Blake Ferguson.
Or Fergo. I love Fergo. He brings that spark for sure.
If you're talking to Freddie, first of all, we've got to come up with a methodology for negating the coach whisperer.
Yeah, it seems to be we were outcoached, right? So the coach whisperer seems to have had a bit of an advantage.
So if we can come up with a few games to trick Kevy and the players into saying the words New South Wales are blue more often, we might be doing well. But, you know, some of Freddie's tactics are left of centre. The idea where they take their boots off and, you know, earth and get the nutrients in the minerals soaking up through the feet.
Didn't that work great?
I thought Ben Hunt was making a comment when he picked up Boyd Cordner's boot and threw it away.
Yeah.
Got to get the boys to keep the boots on.
Yeah, keep your boots on. I got to ask you, man, how do you feel about Luttrell? I mean, he's kind of gone missing a little bit after this game. Does he stay in the team?
100%.
Yeah?
Superior talent, get him focused. Get him on board.
Okay.
And look, we've got to find a way to get the Perth crowd on our side. How do we turn the Perth crowd blue?
That is a good point because, you know, a lot of these fans will be coming in neutral, right? And it's very appealing to just yell, Queenslander, and put that silly colour on. We need to somehow convince... Do you have any ideas how we can convince them to be blue?
Yes, we crowdfund the Perth crowd. Come on, you Blues fans, let's send some money west. We got to win this State of Origin 2 and take it to a cider in Sydney.
Ah, money, yes, the great resolve.
Coming up next, we speak to Ian Darling, the director of The Final Quarter, the Adam Goods documentary that everybody is talking about.
It's shaken the grounds of AFL.
We are on the Weekend Legends Triple M.
Kicking you right in the weekend. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Last night at the Sydney Film Festival, a movie about the departure of Adam Goods from his AFL career was screened called The Final Quarter.
This is huge, Chris. This is one of the most important sporting documentaries I've seen in a while in this country.
The movie raises issues of culture, race, and what it means to be an Australian sporting fan these days.
Mm.
We're lucky enough to talk to the director of the film, Ian Darling. Ian, what inspired you to make this film?
Oh, I think, look, I was a footy fan, Chris, and I, you know, used to go and see Adam play, and I just noticed this level of booing just used to increase every time I went. And I was really confused. You know, there seemed to be every reason under the sun given for the booing, but it just didn't make sense. And before I knew it, suddenly one of Australia's greatest sporting heroes had literally been booed from the field, and we'd sort of swept it under the carpet, and Adam had gone missing, and none of us had really had the important conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ian. It's Rose here. Mate, it is a really important thing to look back on and discuss. And like you said, Adam Goods kind of went missing a bit after that whole thing went down. I've noticed he hasn't been around much because of this movie as well. I need to know, has he seen the film?
He has, Rose. We shared it with him back in December. And, you know, it was a really emotional screening because he had to go through a lot of it again and had to experience that booing and heard a lot of commentary and saw a lot of stuff that he actually hadn't experienced. So it was really powerful. He also, you know, got quite emotional when he saw that there was a lot of support and outpouring of love towards him as well. But, you know, at the end of it, he just, you know, we spoke and realised that he really only had one screening in him, that it was too much for him to think that he could see it again. But, yeah, it was a very powerful moment.
And is Adam Goods happy for this story to be told about the end of his career?
Yeah, he is. And that was my first concern, that when we approached him a couple of years ago, that was really the first question. I said, are you okay about us telling the story? And we'd raised the issue back in 2015, but he was still playing and it wasn't right. But knowing how I was making this film and putting it together with archival footage and really just telling the story of what happened, he instantly saw, you know, that it could be a powerful piece. And when I told him that it's also being made available for every school and sporting club in the country, he could sort of see our intent and thought it really had a valuable place to be made.
I believe it's also going out on free-to-air television, Ian, soon. Is that right?
Oh, we're hoping to be able to announce a broadcast soon. That, you know, it's one of these films that we really want everyone to see, and the broadest audience possible, because I think the great thing about sport, and especially AFL, it's a national game, and you know, everyone had an opinion over that period, and I think this will just give everyone the opportunity just to think back as to what they were doing during that time. Were they part of the booing? Were they, you know, part of the social media, or were they doing nothing? And I think the notion of doing nothing can be equally harmful. And, you know, one of the things that there's an absence in the film of political leadership. You know, our leaders at the time virtually said nothing. And I think that's pretty telling as well.
I've been lucky enough to see it. It's an emotional experience. But you mentioned the use of archival footage. It's a different way of making a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really drawn to a couple of great sporting movies. There was one on Ayrton Senna called Senna, and that was just using archival footage.
Yeah, right.
A great one that the ESPN put out in their 30 by 30 sports series called June 17, 1994, and that's about O.J. Simpson, the day he went down the freeway in Los Angeles, and there were five big sporting events that were happening at that time, and they all had to be interrupted to go and chase OJ. And that was simply news footage that was unfolding at the time. And I thought, wow, there's a real honesty when you put it together like that. And you know, people don't always need to be told what to think. And I'm not sure whether you felt the same way, Chris, but it, you know, you're able to make up your own mind when you're watching this film, and it just sort of flows over you. And so I thought it's possibly a really effective way to tell the story.
You allow people to agree with Sam Newman if they choose to, is all I'll say there, Ian.
We're talking to Ian Darling, the director of The Final Quarter, the new documentary about the end of Adam Goode's career. And I think there's no denying every sports fan in this country looking back on Goode's, he left an incredible legacy behind him playing the sport. What would you like to see, Ian, as this film's legacy left behind, telling the story of the end of his career?
Well, I think that's one of the things. I think we've got to remind ourselves that Adam was one of Australia's greatest sporting legends. You know, few people have won two Brownlow medals, been all Australian, won a couple of grand finals.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd hate people to only remember him as the Indigenous footballer who got booed from the game. You know, we've got to remember that. And I think there's an opportunity, hopefully, for us all to really acknowledge that. You know, I'd love to see potentially, you know, the league and all the clubs actually doing something. You know, he didn't even get the opportunity to do that parade of champions at the grand final.
Sad, yeah.
After he left. And, you know, even then there was a sense that had he done that, he would have been booed. And, you know, that's not the way we treat our sporting heroes. But I think the real legacy is if everyone can just look at this film with open eyes and an open heart and just consider what actually happened and you know how we all reacted and whether we're guilty of adding to the you know the booing and the unnecessary fuel and just to reconsider what this means you know to not only our sporting identities but to us as a nation and you know I don't think it's a moment that that we can be too proud about at all.
Look, I think it's a legacy that's a really positive one, Ian, and we want to thank you for making it and for Adam for allowing it to be made.
Yeah.
Now that you are making fan-based movies, would you consider doing a documentary about the pain of being a Bulldogs fan for Rose? Because it's a story that needs to be told.
Stop it.
Well, Rose, you know, I think archive will be a great thing. You know, unfortunately, the facts speak for themselves, don't they?
Thanks, Ian.
We want to thank Ian Darling, the director of The Final Quarter. It's been a pleasure speaking with Ian. All the best for the rest of the movie.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rose. Great to chat.
It's a show on the weekend, and these guys are legends. So naming the show was a no-brainer. Triple M's Ghost Mutt. Sorry, what is it? Weekend Legends.
Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. My best friend's girlfriend, The Cars. That's one of the saddest songs ever written, I think.
Well, my best friend's girlfriend just became his fiancée. Congratulations, PJ.
Rose, we've got a bit of post-origin joy. Last weekend, we had two matches of NRL to look forward to on this show. We've got six this week.
Oh, how good is it to be back to a full round? Feels good.
Coming up at midday, Saturday NRL with Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, and Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence. The huge guest, Freddie Fittler, will be in to talk about how to get the Blues back on track.
Yes, Fittler talks to the Dream Team.
Connor Watson from the Knights, Jackie Boy Whiten from the Raiders, and Brent Reed has some really big news, breaking news. Now, today, the Warriors storm out at Mart Smart Stadium over the ditch. Addo Carr, Munster, Kafusi, Chambers, all named for the storm. Unfortunately, I love saying this guy's name, Jazz Tavanga, is out for the Warriors.
That is scary when you see those four guys named to back up for the storm, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they'll win.
Yeah, absolutely.
At 5, and Triple M is calling all the action at 3 p.m. today.
Yes.
5:30 p.m, the Sharks and Eels down at PointsBet Stadium. It's a Sydney game. Wade Graham is named. That's really exciting for him to return.
9-month absence from the ACL injury, right? That's a big return.
Does he walk back into origin calculations? Josh Morris, I think, is going to sit this one out.
Yep.
Good news for Parramatta, Nathan Brown has been in. Now, the Eels have got the likes of Tim Manor and Takarangi still on the outer. They're playing for Wentworthville Magpies against the Jets at Henson today, 3
yeah.
o'clock.
Oh, nice.
But the big question is, the Eels sort of beat up on a weakened South last weekend. Now they step up to the Sharks in the Shire. Are they the real deal?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really big chance for the Eels to show that. I think Gutherson, you know, he's leading run meters this year, and I think the re-signing of the contracts got him fired up. So I think, I think he's going to have a big game, and I believe the Eels can beat the Sharks here. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Look, I think that the Sharks are my spoiler for that fourth team. I know Newcastle really? And Canberra are surging, but I still really like the Sharks. Yeah. I fear the Sharks.
The Sharks for
in four. The water and out of the water. 7:30 p.m. tonight at 1300 Smiles Stadium up in far north Queensland. The Cowboys have Michael Morgan and Josh Maguire in. Kahu is out. Hmm. For Manly, who have only won one of their last four, so they're mini slumping right now. Tommy Turbo is back. That's great news.
That's huge. I mean, that's got to be the big factor in that game, is that the Turbo's back.
DC is named, but he's on the bench because he's still nursing that specific ankle injury he has, which in Manly is called the syndesmosis.
Oh, boo. And we asked him for comment. He said, I'm fine.
Tomorrow, the Broncos take on the Titans at Suncorp Stadium. Triple M covering this game at 2 p.m.
Moving on.
Brisbane have all Origin players backing up except the injured Joe Offenhangawi.
Yep.
Ash Taylor is sitting down for personal reasons, taking personal leave.
Do we know any more about this?
No, but he's been having a pretty rough time in the press lately about his play.
I'm a bit worried about how many players need to take time off for personal reasons. It's getting a bit silly.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I blame the media. Hang on. No, we are part of the media.
I blame you.
Nathan Peets is back from his pec injury, but good guy Michael Gordon has a blood clot and might be out for a while.
Oh, he's such a good guy.
Panthers take on the Roosters at Panthers Stadium. Regan Campbell-Gillard is in for the retiring Tim Grant with a pec injury, sees him leave the game.
Mm.
I see this as a swing game. Roosters lost two in a row. Penrith won two in a row. No Latrell and Corden are probably for the Roosters. Keary is definitely out, and Rhea Hargrave's out for the hit on Ponga. What do you think?
I still think the Roosters will get up here because the Panthers seem to be in a transitional phase right now. We're hearing talk of players leaving, maybe players joining. We don't really know. But I feel like it'll be similar to last night with the Tigers. Panthers will have their mind on other things besides the game, and Roosters will make them pay for that.
Long weekend bonus, 4:05 p.m. at ANZ Stadium. Your Bulldogs Ooh. Take on the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Oh.
The Dogs, less than 13 points a game, but the big question is, they are a bogey team for the Dragons. Can they do it again? Can they lift?
No matter how bad the Dogs are, we always have a chance of beating the Dragons. And I believe in my boys. They can get it done on Monday.
That was Round the Grounds for Paddy's Markets. Rose, I believe Paddy's Markets babysat you as a child.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Whenever my parents didn't have time, Paddy's Markets took care of it.
They're still looking after you with either 1,500 stands in two huge locations. You'll find a bargain at Paddy's for sure. Visit paddysmarkets.com.au.
And the time is coming close to win these wrestling tickets to the big New Japan show that's happening in Sydney at the end of this month. Hang around, I'll put the call out very soon for you to call up and win those tickets.
Weekend Legends, Triple M.
A show that combines our two great loves, the weekend and working half-assed. Triple M's Weekend Legends.
Weekend Legends, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose. Those wrestling tickets, Rose, they gone.
Oh, God. Gee, so many people caught up for those. It's exciting.
Quick shout out to intern Tyson. His last day with us. His meticulous research has kept this show afloat. Thanks, Tyson.
He's been amazing, Tyson. Thank you for all your work. We appreciate it.
He's always researching all the things that we don't hear about sport, and that's what constitutes a segment called...
Wait, what? What did I miss?
Maybe it should be called Intern Tyson's What Did I Miss from now on. Go, Chris.
Israel Folau, $10 million lawsuit. Oof. Interesting retirement strategy, isn't it, Rose?
Yeah.
Send out a tweet. Leave the game, $10 million richer. What do you think about that?
I think it's an interesting move, and we'll see how it goes. Let's jump over to the Champions League. If you miss this, the streaker that ran on the ground during the Champions League Grand Final, Kinsey Wolanski. She's some silly model, and her boyfriend made her do it. They're all silly. We'll talk about that in a podcast extra this week. It's ridiculous.
Now, James Donato was in court this week. He was caught kissing a bouncer. He's the son of Shannon Donato, former NRL player.
Uh-huh.
The magistrate, Greg Gogan, who was my old football coach, believe it or not,
cool.
said, I'm constantly tell people not to get involved in fights by punching. It's rare that I tell people not to get involved by fights by kissing.
Yeah. Mwah. Let's go to the NBA. Mark Stevens, who's one of the owners for the Golden State Warriors, Kyle Lowry, a player for the Toronto Raptors, fell into the crowd this week. And Mark Stevens pushed him
I saw
off
that.
Like an idiot, and he's been banned for a year. I mean, an owner should not be doing that. It's ridiculous.
Toronto up 2-1. They're playing game four right now. Aussie Andrew Bogut, Sydney King, in action.
Oh, he's killing it.
Now, the French Open, in terms of what you don't want to miss tonight, Ash Barty, the Australian, is in the final against Marketa Vondrasova.
Yes.
11 p.m. tonight. Go, Ash.
Go, Ash. She's amazing. Scottie Pippen, the basketball player, sued a 5-year-old girl this week for drawing on the walls of his mansion. Nice one, Scottie.
Seems fair.
Yes.
Tremendous weekend in league. Tremendous weekend in sport. Thanks for being with us.
Go, Australia.
Weekend Legends, Triple M.
See ya.
Triple M's Weekend Legends. More next.
Weekend Legends 104.9 Triple M with Chris and Rose, and it's podcast extra time, Rose.
Oh, the digital world. Doesn't it just excite you, Chris? Now, this week, you had a pretty interesting run-in with Triple M's very own Wendell Saylor on a flight, correct?
Yes, we were both flying back from Brisbane after the Origin, and this is what happened.
Well, guys, I'm lucky to be here. Chris Gale, obviously on the morning Triple M show, he was on the flight. So he was in business class, the Legends show.
Yeah.
So he was, I walked past and I sort
he
of...
He was in business class. Where were you?
Mate.
So the Legends guys fly business.
He's flying...
We're at the back of the plane.
Yeah. So he's flying business class. I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? So as I'm walking, I just say, how you going, mate? Blah, blah. And then I keep walking. Mm-hmm. I'm in the last row. On the aisle, near the toilet. And look, I don't mind because I'm a man of the people. I'll sit anywhere and talk to anyone.
Wendell Saylor, the man of the people. This reveals your alter ego, Chris, corporate Chris, right? You love a good business class.
Listen, I have a medical condition. It's called long legitis. And so I was up the front of the plane for medical reasons, but it was a pretty interesting moment. We got hit by clear air turbulence, 130-degree wind shift, jeez, and it was chaos in that cabin.
Wow.
It was at the end of the dinner service. There were meal trails everywhere, people helping the air attendants out, like holding the dinner carts from rolling down the aisles. People were having their boots splashed by wine. It was quite the moment, but to the credit of the crew, they were fantastic. And the captain actually explained at the end what had happened and met anyone who wanted to talk to him about it at the exit, including Wendell, who had a long conversation.
Yeah, the crazy thing is if that plane went down, no one would talk about you, Chris. All the press would be about Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell did say on the Saturday NRL show that, look, in fairness, he would have been on the front and the back page had he died.
Well, speaking of a condition that makes you sit at the front of the plane, there's been some interesting news this week in the world of boxing because of someone's condition. Andy Ruiz wins 3 titles in one boxing match against Anthony Joshua, who's this big boxer. This is one of the biggest upsets in boxing in a very long time. The odds were hugely against Andy Ruiz in this fight, and he won.
Yeah, but a lot of it centered around the fact that physically he's like Joshua is a specimen, you know, the rig, the unit, the whole deal.
He's huge.
And Ruiz carrying a few extra kilos, a little bit around the middle. And but they didn't recognize his credentials. He'd had like a number of professional wins, more than 20 and only one loss. And he went in well credentialed and he toweled up.
I love this story because I'm a bigger man myself. And this gives belief to the bigger men that a strategy in a game or in a fight like boxing can win you a match. It doesn't matter your look. You could be as ripped and covered in water. I know you love wrestlers with wet hair, Chris. It doesn't matter how you look getting in the ring. It doesn't matter how you look getting in the ring. It's your strategy in there. And Andy Ruiz won that battle for every bigger man in this country.
Butterbean was another professional boxer who absolutely exemplified that.
Yes. I mean, it's not just the bigger guys that change up sport as well. I always think about Muggsy Bogues in the basketball.
Right. Yeah. So 5'3.5".
So short. I mean, and you look at a classic basketball, it's the height that gets you the ability. And that guy was able to play at an elite level being that small. I love these guys that don't fit the mold of their sport.
The NBA legendary coach Hubie Brown once said, you give me 4 athletes, beautiful condition, can run all day, and you give me a slow, gimpy guy who can put the ball in the basket. He goes, I'll take the slow, gimpy guy because scoring forgives a multitude of sins.
It takes me back. I was a pretty slow, gimpy guy.
I mean, in America, Major League Baseball is full of guys chewing tobacco, out of shape, barely can get around the bases, but if they knock it out of the park, they've got a career.
I mean, Big Papi's a guy in these days that like hits balls out of the park, and he's a huge guy. Babe Ruth. People talk about Babe Ruth being one of the greatest batters of all time. The guy was huge. He was eating hamburgers in between innings.
Big Papi. I was going to say, I didn't know Dylan Napa played baseball.
No, wrong Papi, damn it.
What about old Matt Dunning used to play for the Waratahs? He was a larger guy, but he was prepared to take the winning field goal. We needed a try, but he's prepared to...
I love the big men in sport.
Merv Hughes, of course.
Oh, the great Merv. One of the greatest big men in sport of all time.
Exemplified the Aussie. The Mo, a little bit of a beer gut, and a wicked bouncer.
Oh, love him.
And rugby league, because we love rugby league, don't we, Rose?
Yeah, of course we do.
And we love you, Rose, because of your namesake, Georgie Rose.
Oh, yes.
He brought the hurt and he brought the girth to rugby league. You're on the Weekend Legends Triple M.
The Weekend Legends on Triple M.